Well, this is a big group for Sunday school. It's good to see everyone. I think I know almost everyone. Just met. Now I forgot your name that fast.
Ray.
This must be your wife. Nice to meet you guys. My name is Dan Robinson. If there's anyone else in here that doesn't know me, pastor's already prayed. I'd like to open in a word of prayer also. He just mentioned something, or is he sitting, that it was wonderful and horrible or something like that all at the same time. And I have to express it was the same for us, and is still a little bit. We got to spend this week with our children and grandchildren, and, you know, to see those little ones. And yeah. Anyhow, I told myself I'd have to check my emotions for a lot of reasons this morning. I need to do that right here. It's been wonderful, and it's been miserable all at the same time. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these sweet people here. I thank you for your work in the lives of your people. I thank you that you continue to work in us that which is real, Lord. You don't leave us where we're at, but you work in us those things that are pleasing to you. Father, I pray that you bless this time now as I share what it is that you've been doing in our hearts and lives and in the lives of others. And I pray that you would bless as we look into your word a little bit. I just give this time to you now, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul writes a letter to the Philippians, and you don't have to turn there, but in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers. And you know, Paul had reasons to thank God for all that he had seen God do, how that church came to be. You know, they tried going one direction and they were unable to go. They tried going another direction and they were unable to go. And they end up at Philippi through some circumstances there. And a church is born out of that. And we see that God directs the lives of his people in that way. You try to go one way and you can't go. You try to go another way and you can't go. And God just is consistently directing the lives of his people in that way. And he still does that today. God is in our past. If we're believers here, God is in our past, and he's in our very present. He's here with us today. He's at work today in our lives. And he's in our future as well. There's no loss for us. It's all victory. And I know there's a lot of things going on in the world today, a lot of difficulties and a lot of challenges for us as believers. I mean, you know what those things are. I don't have to mention them. But God is still at work in our lives, working in us those things that which are real, which are tangible, which are real. He will not leave us in a place where we're pursuing the false or the phony. I shared this with the people back in Utah just maybe a couple weeks back. I have a cell phone now, and I held out to the very end, but I found out I have to have a cell phone. And but I have this term for people that are always on their phone, and this... Please, if you're always on your phone, don't take this too personal. I call them phonies because they're not right where they're at. They're not right with me or with you. They're on their phone continuously. I call them phonies. But God doesn't work that way in our lives. He doesn't work in us that which is phony. He works in us that which is real. And this thought of, you know, it's only been maybe a little more than a year ago or about a year ago, Cindy and Abby and I went out to Utah on a survey trip to see, is the Lord leading us that direction? And it was no small, I think I've shared with some of you, it was no small thing to consider. I mean, what am I thinking? The youth group back here, Pastor Wes and I were talking about maybe a possibility of coming and talking with you guys, but it's not going to happen. And I thought, boy, here we're involved with the youth and, you know, others, and if I start mentioning names, I'll get weepy, so I'm going to check my emotions, like I said here. And you know, what are we thinking going out to Utah? Lord, is this you or is this not you? Is what is this? Is this our imagination? And then we went out there, and as we went out there, and we visited five different ministries, and each one said, hey, come be a part of this. Come be a part of this. Come be a part of this. And our hearts were drawn, Cindy and I both, without talking to each other at all, actually, to North Valley Bible Church. And on the way home, or before the day before we were going to leave, I said, Cindy, if there's any place we're going to go, North Valley Bible Church would be the place. And she said, I feel the exact same way. So now the decision is, are we going to go or not? Are we going to be obedient to that? Are we going to follow our emotions, which are telling me especially, no, no, no. That's crazy. Why would I do that? But I want to say to you that the Lord has blessed that decision. It wasn't easy. It was a step into the unknown. It was a step into, you know, stepping away from what was so familiar and comfortable and loving. I mean, the people of this church, you guys know each other. This is a loving body of believers. We've been gone now 8-9 months, and, you know, some people that were here last year aren't here today. And some of those folks are so dear to us, and that to miss that and to miss those things and to miss you guys and to miss our children and our grandchildren was not an easy decision. It was huge. But we went, and we got there, and what we discovered was there's needs out there that are beyond one individual. There's needs out there that are beyond, I don't know what I can express exactly. There's a man back in the 1800s who started a movement. And you know what it is? It's Mormonism. It's the LDS Church. He began this thing, and it grew. It shouldn't have, but it has. Yesterday, Dan and I were getting ready to go to town to get something, and these people showed up at his door, kind of strange, and they were Jehovah's Witnesses. And here's another guy back in the 1800s. He starts this thing. He decides, hey, you know what? I'm going to start something on my own, and it grew legs. And there it is, this falsehood, this thing that is not doctrinally solid, that is based in just one man's opinions about things. It's not based in any truth or fact or anything that is real or tangible, but people are following it. Well, out in Utah, it's Mormonism is the big thing out there, and these people are blinded to the truth of the gospel by this falsehood that they're living in. And it is ingrained in their society, in their culture. And everything is good on the outside. And we have some folks, some wonderful, dear, sweet people in North Valley Bible Church who have come out of Mormonism. And they'll share this with you. They would if they were here today. Everything is all pretty on the outside, but behind the scenes, it's a mess. Now, that isn't to say that we as genuine followers of Christ don't have difficulties in our lives. We do. But what they're describing is beyond what you would expect to find. It is beyond, and it is prevalent throughout. It's not just one family or two families. It's just prevalent throughout that whole culture out there. So they have this facade that looks really good on the outside. They're hardworking people. They're very clean, upright people, so to speak. But they're lost. They don't know the truth of the gospel. And to get them to understand, or to get them to the place where they could understand that they need to trust in the Jesus of the Bible is not an easy thing. In fact, I would go beyond that and say it's impossible. It's impossible for us to talk to them and get them to that point. Unless the Spirit moves, nothing's going to happen. So I know many of you have been praying, and I'm asking you to keep praying that the Spirit of God would move in that community, because people were ministering long before Cindy and I and Abby showed up and have been ministering faithfully. And whatever results there have been, there's been some movement toward the Lord there. And it does seem like, and this is something that occurred to me while we were out there on that survey tour, and also actually when we were out there with Pastor West and the youth group, that Mormonism could collapse underneath its own weight, because it's built on this nothing. It could collapse underneath its own weight, and the trouble with that is, if it collapses, where do all those people go? A lot of them, when they leave Mormonism, they go to atheism. So there's a need out there for a Christian witness. There's a huge need, and it's not that there aren't churches out there that are non-Mormon. There are. The Catholic Church has a presence in our community. The Lutheran Church has a presence in our community. The Pentecostal churches have a presence in our community. And, you know, there's a few others as well. But the Bible-believing churches are few, and they're small, and they've been kind of divided by some things that I was wondering, am I seeing that clearly, Lord? Now, Lord's confirmed that I was. And, you know, wouldn't the enemy love that? To come in to where there's a gospel witness, the truth of the gospel being proclaimed, the truth that we're all sinners, and the only way to be saved is through faith in Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate. That's a big one. It was a big one for those Jehovah Witnesses yesterday, that Jesus is God they'd say, no, Jesus, that can't be. And Mormons don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible either. But there's a huge need out there for a gospel witness that is preaching the truth, and the distractions that have come in, I don't know how to enumerate them to you or to tell them to you. I'm asking you for prayer for that as well. There are distractions within the body of believers. I'm talking about born-again believers out there. There are distractions that come in and get them off focus. So people are talking about doctrine and theology more often than they're talking about Christ. But we haven't come to a faith in a let me qualify this. Doctrine is important. I'm not saying that it's not important. But we haven't put our faith and trust in a doctrine. We've put our faith and trust in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ, the living God. And so that's kind of like where it is in our culture as far as believers go, is there's this pursuit of, I'm smarter than you, and I know this theological point better than you, and I know this theological point better than you. And so there's this tension that I don't know how to explain other than I've just explained that I'm sure it's here as well, but it's not to the extent that it's there. And so some of the ministry that the Lord has allowed us to be a part of is pointing people just back to Christ, just back to Jesus, just back to Him. And it's been effective. And to whatever extent it's been effective, I praise God for all of that, because I've heard people, you know, we've had missionaries come in. I've been sitting where you're at how many times, and I'm listening to these missionaries say, we're just ordinary people. I feel like the most ordinary of the ordinary of those ordinary people, and I have nothing to offer. And it is daily, it is certainly weekly, it is sometimes hourly. I'm going to the Lord saying, Lord, I don't know how to respond to this. I don't know what to do in this situation, but God has been faithful. And He's been using whatever it is. Your prayers are a part of that, I'm sure. He's been using whatever it is to take this body of believers who would blend right into this, the body, let me say that too. The body of believers that we minister to, North Valley Bible Church, was made up of maybe four or five core families. We've grown a little bit now. And those four or five families, any one of those, all of those, would fit right into this church. They blend right in. They're beautiful, loving people. But God has grown us, them, and us spiritually. And He's grown us in unity that is just tremendous. In fact, we have a storefront church, and we're up this flight of stairs, and we have some people that have a hard time with that flight of stairs. And when we got there, Cindy and I talked about the need to maybe get out of that building, and we mentioned it to some folks, and they said, well, we don't know if we'd have unity about that. Well, just this spring, we had our first congregational meeting with me serving as pastor, and it was mentioned that we need to start praying for maybe a new facility, and we have this tremendous unity in this body toward that end, toward finding a different facility. I'm asking you for prayer for that as well. I didn't see it coming, because I was told we won't have unity about this, but the Lord has given us this unity about this move. It has to be from Him. There's no other explaining it. And there's no other explaining the growth. There was, and I could go on and on here, and if I'm talking too much, stop me, but there's an individual that his wife is a part of our body of believers there, and she's been just this faithful, solid believer, but he came out of the LDS church, and then he came to Christianity, and then he started wandering into all kinds of stuff. And this guy's, you know, when I talk to him, I realize he's way smarter than I am. He reads fast. He's quick, a quick study. But he was studying Eastern mysticism and all kinds of stuff he was into. He could share all that with you better than I could. But I started praying for him, and the Lord gave me an opportunity to meet with him. He kind of reminded me of someone, a good friend of mine. I told him that, and this bond between him and I just grew instantly. And you know, it was one of those weeks where I'm thinking, Lord, what are we doing out here? I'm missing my grandkids. I got pictures of my grandkids on my phone, and I'm thinking, oh man, what am I doing out here in Utah? Lord, if I'm supposed to be here, you're going to have to confirm it. And here is this meeting I have with this guy, and that builds into some conversations on the phone. Before I know it, this guy is involved with a 2-7 Bible study on Wednesdays with another family. And he is just on fire for the truth of Scripture now. His life has completely a 180. He was going one direction, and now he's going toward the Lord. And, you know, I could bring him in here, and he would share these things with you. Someone at the church said he was going to come to an Easter thing, and he said, will he be embarrassed? I said, he's not going to be embarrassed at all. He's going to praise the Lord when he comes. It was beautiful to see him there ministering and cooking eggs, and it's just beautiful to see what the Lord's doing in his life and what that's done in his wife's life. I'm thinking, look at that. Here, Marshall and Bonnie led Cindy and I through this 2-7 course how many years back, and here I have the privilege of leading this couple along with another couple through that. I just see the Lord working in those ways. God is presently at work in the world today, in our world today, and he leads in these crazy ways. I mean, moving to Utah, I told Rick Ray before I came this morning, I was at Dan's house getting ready to come, our old house, Dan's house now, and our license plate expired, our Michigan license plate, and I had to put my Utah plate on there. I said, you know, that's kind of like a Packer fan putting a Lion sticker on his car, or vice versa, right? I just didn't want to put that Utah plate on there. So there's these little things that are like, man, here, this step, we're in the process of purchasing a home in Utah. I mean, think about that. I mean, we have a home here in Michigan. We're in process of purchasing a home in Utah. I'd ask you to be praying for us in that as well. I mean, these are maybe small things, but they're big. They're big in our lives. They really are. And just be praying that the Lord will continue to confirm his calling on our lives in this. I know Cindy, for a while, was struggling along. She would share that if she had the opportunity, but she was saying, boy, what are we doing out here? Is the Lord doing anything? And she wasn't involved with that Wednesday group, and she wasn't involved with the conversations I was having with other people and some other individuals that needed to be reconciled and another couple of individuals that needed to be reconciled. She wasn't involved with that, not seeing it. And, you know, life is busy, so you don't get to relate those things. Hey, you know what happened today? You know what happened today? Anyhow, but the Lord's encouraged her and blessed her in and through things lately, and I think she'd relate that as well if she had the opportunity. But in a nutshell, that's what's been going on. The Lord's been using what he's grown into us through this body of believers here at Bark River Bible Church to be a blessing to others in Utah at North Valley Bible Church in ways that, you know, to put all them dots together and paint that picture for you would maybe be kind of beyond me. It'd be almost too difficult to express. But I got a buddy who says when the Lord aims at a target, he doesn't use a single bullet. He uses buckshot or birdshot. He hits multiple targets at one time. And I am seeing the Lord doing that in this small body of believers. Cindy went to work at McDonald's out there, and she met this lady named Robin, and Robin and her husband started coming to church, and they're part of that Wednesday group that I do. And you know, her husband's name is Kirk, and him and I just are like fast friends. We go golfing every Tuesday nights. Not golfing, we go to the driving range, but every Tuesday nights, and he's trying to correct my bad habits with my golf swing and stuff like that. But we just see the Lord at work. Just last week, I was taking that propane tanker, and I, you know, maybe you'll remember, I was wondering, am I going to be able to have work out there? And I go out there, and I'm supposed to be driving propane tanker, and it was getting stretched out there. Is it going to happen? And sure enough, the job came, and I started driving. And I've had all these interactions with different people in doing that. And I had went to this plant out in the middle of Wyoming, and there's a guy I know. His name is Mario, and I think I'd witnessed to him once before, but I don't remember exactly what that conversation was, and I could tell maybe he didn't want to talk. So we're out there in the middle of nowhere, kind of, with our trucks, and going to load, and I think, well, okay, I'll just give him his space, and I really didn't feel like talking to anyone that day either. You know, you get that way sometimes. And I hook my hoses up, and I do my thing, and my truck is filling, and I'm just going to stand outside and let him stand inside that office thing and do his thing. And then he comes out there, and he's alongside, opposite the pipes that I am, and he says, you know, I just need something in my life. And I'm thinking, really, Lord? You know, it's one of them days. I'm thinking, what am I doing out here? When I go back home, and I just go want to stay. And He says, I see you and Jeremy. Jeremy is the former pastor of North Valley Bible Church. I see you and Jeremy, and you guys are just happy. And I'm thinking, really? Is that how I come across? Apparently so. Well, you know, that. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit living in us. I mean, I don't see myself that way, but here this Mario sees us. You know, I see you guys, and you guys are just happy all the time. Every time I see you, you're just happy. What is that? Well, you know what? I got to share with him a little bit. I've invited him to church. He lives in the same town we do. Well, Ogden, we live in Far West. It's all one big town. He's going to come. I expect to see Mario. Be praying for Mario. There's a couple, you know, that step van that we bought, and then I had to fly back and get it, and I didn't have peace about spending $3,500 on a U-Haul, so I buy this step van, and I didn't get very far, and it died. And then, you know, Marshall and his brother, and then Don Sr. came, and John Hudson came and rescued us, and anyway, I had to fly back and get that thing. It made it all the way out there. The only problem I had is I ran out of fuel. The gas gauge doesn't work. Anyhow, we bought that thing, and then we just sold it last week. I was hanging on to it thinking, well, we'd use it to move again or something. Cindy put it on this thing called KSL for us. It sold in a day, you know, one day, gone, and it sold for more than we bought it for. You know, you just see the Lord just providing. And the family that came to get it, he's LDS, she's a mix of things. And here I get to share with them. They might come to our church. Be praying for them. His name is Eric. Her name is Angela. Be praying for them. And that same week, there's another couple I'm forgetting about. Anyhow, the Lord's providing these opportunities like that. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if that church will stay the same size it is or grow to, you know, 100 or 120 people or the size of this, I don't know, but I do know that I see the Lord being faithful as we've stepped out in faith, not knowing what's there. You know, it's kind of like taking a step and what's in front of you is just dark, and you don't know if when your foot's going to land, is it going to land into a chasm or land on something firm? What's landed on our firm foundation? Jesus. He's there. He's been there. He's been there for me. I want to share that with you. He's been there for me personally while I've been there. He's been there in the lows, and most of the lows for me are again, missing family, missing you guys, missing my grandchildren, wondering, Lord, why am I here kind of stuff. But I've seen him just over and over and over again, blessed with confirmation. And, you know, I started in Philippians there, and Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers. And, you know, Philippians is a very personal letter. Paul knows these people personally, and you can hear his heart toward them when he writes that letter. You can hear. It's not just this doctrinal thesis he's laying out. He's laying out a personal letter to people he loves dearly. He loves dearly, and he's talking about a God that he knows personally. I thank my God, he says. I thank my God. And the God that we have to offer people is a personal God. We don't see that in any other religion. I grew up Catholic. And God was not this personal God I've came to faith in through Jesus Christ. In that religion, he's not. In other religions, God is not this personal God, this God where you would say, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers. And Paul goes on to say, because of their partnership in the gospel is why he's thanking his God, because their partnership in the gospel. He's seen that this not only their conversion, but their partnership in the gospel is overflowing in this real thing. This real thing. And I don't know how better I could express that, but what we have come to by placing our faith in Christ is real. It's tangible. It's not mystic. It's not pie in the sky. It's not out there. I know you know these things, but the question came to me, and I was, you know, I preached on this a couple weeks ago. Maybe you're understanding that as I'm talking about it and all, but the question came to me, do we live like that? Do we live like God is present in our lives today? Do I live like that? Is that where my heart is all the time? Is that where my mind is? Of course, it's not all the time. But anyhow, it's something to consider. The idea that this God that we've come to faith in is a personal, it's a personal relationship thing, and it's real, it's genuine, it's a genuine article. And God doesn't leave us where we're at. He doesn't leave us chasing after fantasy. He won't. Well, think of your own children. If you have children, and you young ones, someday you'll have children, and you don't want them pursuing fantasies. You want them pursuing things that are not real, that are pie in the sky. If you have a son and he says, "Dad, I'm going to be an NFL player," and he's this tall and he's 80 pounds soaking wet, you're thinking, "Son, that's not real. You know, it's not going to happen." God doesn't let us do that. He doesn't let us pursue things that aren't real. Anyhow, I've talked a long time, and I just want to say, and I haven't gone places I can't go without getting overly emotional, but I thank my God every time I remember you guys in my prayers. And it's different. It was different for Paul. He was thanking our God because, you know, he was a part of the founding of that church. I thank God because this church poured into our family, poured love and prayer and fellowship and friendship into our family. Pour the love of Jesus into our family. And I want to encourage you guys to keep doing that. And those of you that are maybe newer to this congregation, join in that. Just pour into one another that love. And you'll find yourself thanking God. You know, the book of Philippians, a lot of people say the theme of Philippians is joy. I'm not certain that's necessarily the theme. It might be the result of the theme. But it's certainly an ongoing theme in the book of Philippians, joy. I know you're familiar with this, but joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and yourself in that order. That's joy, hey? Okay, enough with that. And I got to have time for a few questions here. So I haven't shared everything that's going on. There's a bunch of stuff going on. I just want to share that with you. There's a lot going on in our small body of believers. It's a busy time for us, and there's a lot of prayer requests I would have for you. I've mentioned some of them, but keep praying for us. Okay. Any questions you might have?